The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Let me hear your loudest hallelujah. My prayer for everyone here today is that as soon as God wills and as you please, God will give you your own children in Jesus' name. Let me hear your loudest amen. In the course of the service, as God gives us time, we will also minister to those who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, also for people who will be standing in the gap for people who are either here or in other places, and trusting God to touch them and to give them the fruit of the womb. Your life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Grace for higher height. Today is the concluding part of our higher height series, and I'll just browse through this message briefly because of the time issue. It's God's plan for you to be in the level of higher height. That is God's intention for you on a permanent basis. And grace is one vital thing that is necessary for you to attain that height. I said while I was introducing this message last week Sunday, I said a man either accesses grace or he suffers disgrace. You can't be in between. It's either you run to access grace or you undoubtedly embrace disgrace. I pray for everyone here today that disgrace will never be your portion in Jesus' name. Apostle Paul was the last among the disciples. He was the last to show. He was the last to show up. But he reached higher height more than every of the other disciples. There are some disciples that did not even write any book in the Bible. There are some disciples that you probably might not even remember them now that they were disciples. But in every church this Sunday morning now, is very likely Apostle Paul's name will be mentioned at one time or another. Either from his books, reading from the books he has written, which is 2/3 of the New Testament, or mentioning his name direct. But what was the secret of Apostle Paul? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10 explains to us the secret of Apostle Paul. The Bible says, "For I am the least of the disciples, of the apostles, that I am not made to be called an apostle. I am not qualified. Because I persecuted the church." But, somebody say but. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." Grace of God will not be in vain in your life. Amen. "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. I worked hard, but it wasn't about my hard work. I labored very hard, but my labor is not responsible for where I am today. I am a direct product of the grace of God." Now, quickly, this morning, what is grace? What is grace? What is grace? Grace simply means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Blessing, progress, advancement, joy, peace that you don't qualify for. You can't buy it with money. Ephesians 2 verse 8 also explains that. You see, grace is beyond certificate. "For by the grace of God ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." It's a gift. It's not something you can buy with money. It's a gift. It's something that is given to you as a gift. I'll be very, very fast now going forward. What are the benefits of grace? Number one, grace distinguishes in life. The work of grace is to distinguish every man, every parent, every child, every toddler that is bestowed with grace will be distinguished. Joseph was distinguished even in the prison, even in Potiphar's house. Genesis 39 verse 4. Grace distinguished him. Grace made him to be distinguished. and Joseph found grace. You will find grace today. I said you will find grace today. Joseph found grace. At 17 years, he found grace. And grace made him to escape disgrace. Number two, benefit of grace is that grace always protects. One of the major work of grace is to protect you. The Bible says that God determined to destroy the entire world during the time of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 7, God was said to destroy everybody, but because of his grace upon Noah, he was distinguished. Genesis 6:17. Thank you, Jesus. I know that somebody's life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. And behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all the earth, wherein is the breath of life, from under the air, heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But in verse, if you go to verse 8, if you just go back quickly to verse 8, Genesis 6 verse 8, the Bible says, and Noah found grace in the sight of God. God said, I want to destroy everybody. I want the economy to destroy everybody. But he said, Noah, you and your family, I will bring you out. Pray for everybody here today, including our children. You will never be destroyed by the flood going on right now. I say you will never be destroyed by the flood going on right now. It might not be a physical flood as it were, but there are different kinds of flood. Flood of diseases, flood of lack and want, flood of bankruptcy, flood of inability to serve God faithfully. But I pray for you here this morning, you shall be spared. Number three, grace is a lifter of men. For many of us who have been privileged to go to buildings that are very high, you know that it's easier to take a lift than to go through the staircase. That's what grace does for you. Grace is like a lift. It just pulls you up. Grace just takes you up. You just go up. Esther was a product of grace. No father, no mother. Esther chapter 2 verse 17. There was nobody to help her, but grace helped her. Grace lifted her. And the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace. She obtained no certificate. No father or mother. No helper. No sponsor. Only grace. Esther's only qualification was that she was gracified. She went to the school of graceology. Many have certificate, but they have no grace, and so they continue to suffer disgrace. But for you, you shall be exempted today. I say you shall be exempted today. If you are the one I'm praying for this morning, let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Number four, grace makes supply available. In Philippians 4 verse 19, for my God shall supply all my needs according to riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The work of grace is to ensure you access supplies. Supplies. So I know that from today, supplies beyond what man can imagine will come for you in the name of Jesus. And grace, number five, grace makes things easy. Very easy. Once you have grace, things are very easy. To build a house becomes very easy. To progress becomes very easy. To complete your project becomes easy. To start school and complete it becomes very easy. Everything you do becomes very easy. I pray for somebody here today. As grace is being imparted on you today, things will become very, very easy for you from today. Without wasting our time, how do we assess grace? How do we assess grace? Number one, how to assess grace is to have faith in God. Only those that have faith in God can assess grace. Romans 5 verse 1 and 2. Your level of faith determines your level of grace. Faith in God, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You can see, we have access to grace as a result of our faith. Your doubts cannot make you assess grace. And that's why you must build your faith. You must build your faith. Romans 10 verse 17. So faith coming by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The more you hear the word of God, the more you have more faith. What some people will see and they will be scared. A man of faith, a woman of faith will see it and say, come on, let's go. Faith attracts grace. That's why you must never leave God's presence. You must be addicted to God's presence where faith is injected in you. Faith is injected in you. Number two, how to access faith, how to access grace is righteous living. Righteous living. In Romans chapter 6 verse 1 and 2, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? Now listen to me. Any preaching on grace that encourages you to go into sin or to stay inside sin is not from God. So I've heard people say, now we have so many things on television and on the internet. Our grace has covered you. Continue that your way of life. Continue. You will get to any level. Just when you finish it, go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Can we continue in sin, in iniquity, and say, grace of God covered me. Grace of God covered me. Grace of God covered me. Until a man deceives from sin, until a woman deceives from sin, grace is not an option. I've told you often that temptation is not a sin. That you are being tempted. Somebody is trying to tempt you. It's not a sin. But on the day you fall inside that temptation and stay inside that temptation, grace takes a flight. Grace takes a flight. Say, I'm not your friend any longer. Grace to turn your back on iniquity. Grace to turn your back on iniquity. Receive that grace this morning in the name of Jesus. Receive that grace this morning in the name of Jesus. Any grace or preaching on grace that allows sin or encourages sin is a yeshious preaching. Number three, how to assess grace. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. Hebrews 4 verse 16. Hebrews 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The work of prayer is to magnetize grace. The prayerful is the graceful. The more prayerful you are, the more grace you access. Everybody who is a success in life is a product of prayer. Intense prayer. You were not here on Friday night. You missed a lot. If they missed a lot, let me hear you shout hallelujah. I would not like to go into the details of that, but you can get the CD if the CD is available. But it can never. It's beyond human comprehension. The more you pray, the more the hand of God on you. Prayer will always promote the grace of God. Prayer will almost always provoke the grace of God. The altar of prayer is the altar of grace. The altar of prayer is the altar of grace. The more time you spend in prayer, the more you assess the grace of God. Friend, as God liveth, as my God liveth, a new fire is coming on your personal prayer altar. Amen. I say a new fire is coming on your personal prayer altar. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. You know, one thing I've noticed, devil fears the prayerful. Devil is always scared of the prayerful because he knows that you can't predict them. They walk like a wind. You can't predict the wind. A prayerful person is unpredictable. You don't know where the person will come out from. Number four, how to assess grace. Grace is for the hardworking and responsible. No man can assess grace except he's hardworking. It is either, you must have heard me say, it is either a man assesses hard work or hard life. You can't escape the two. Either you are into hard work or you are into hard life. The more you work, the more the grace. The more you work, grace does not replace work. Because once you are not working, there is no worth. Work and grace are Siamese twins. Immediately grace sees work, it moves towards it. Immediately grace sees laziness, it draws back. How many of you have noticed that anything that God promises you to do, He gives you a responsibility attached to it? Anything God wants, if He wants you to be prosperous, He will tell you what to do. If God wants you to get married, He will tell you what to say. You have to find, He that findeth a wife. So you have to, that's why all these guys that do their eyes like this, how can you find like that? You should close your eyes like this, you can see. So open your eyes, shine your eye very well. Grace always brings forth a responsibility. There is no man that can make it without being responsible. No woman can make it. One of the worst abuse they can abuse somebody is that this one is not a responsible person. Say, this girl is not responsible. She's not responsible. That, how about that? He's not a responsible guy. It's one of the worst abuse they can abuse you. Because grace will never work for the irresponsible. Grace always takes off once he sees irresponsibility. Number five, how to assess grace is humility. 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 A life of humility triggers grace. Without humility, no man can assess grace. Many things cause pride in our lives. Maybe your intellectual prowess, you are very knowledgeable. Primary school, you were the best in class. Secondary school, you were the best in class. These kind of things, if you are not careful, can make you proud. Maybe you made it early enough. Immediately you finish school like this, you get a job. And in 2-3 years, you are already doing so well. These kind of things, if you are not careful, can make grace be withdrawn. If you don't ensure that everything that you have, you are in your right senses to know that somebody gave it to you. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 explains to us. This is one of the scriptures that makes me very humble. He said, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive?" He said, now. Can you see the scripture? Now. If thou did receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? Everything you have, I gave it to you. That's God speaking now. So if you do as if you did it, and there's a song required, "I don't know why, but you did it. I don't know why, but I don't know why. I don't know why, you just did it." But when you are braggadocious and behaving as if everything is, the world revolves around you alone. You behave as if everything that, listen to me, friends. The reason why the devil was sent out of heaven was because of pride. Ezekiel 28 from verse 1, downward, you know the story. Devil had golden stones on his body. He was a very extra time was spent on him. But pride entered him. Yeah, am I this beautiful? Am I this handsome? I can be God, God said. I can have my own kingdom. Who is this God talking nonsense? And God was angry. And God pushed him up. His grace suddenly evaporated. The grace on the devil suddenly disappeared. We go to verse 13, verse 14, and all that. You will see all that. How beautiful and how glorious he was, but his thinking was frozen. And all of a sudden, the precious stones on him and everything golden on him, God pushed him out into eternal perdition. This will never be your portion in Jesus' name. I said, this will never be your portion in Jesus' name. You know, God always assists individuals, But the proud person is resisted by God. James 4 verse 6. James 4 verse 6. The work of God is to assist. Children, listen to me. Don't allow pride. Parents, don't allow pride. If you notice that one of your children is proud, deal with it now. Talk to a child. Sit down there. And he says, "Mommy, what do you mean?" "Nonsense. Ah, aren't you my mommy?" No, that, you don't take such. Every family should have a piece of cane in the house. Pride must not be allowed, or else it will bring about destruction. Now, how do you deal with pride? Let me just take this one and I round up. How do you deal with pride? Number one, humble yourself. Humble yourself. No, just be humble in your own eyes. That's what I mean. John 3 verse 27. A man received nothing except it be given to him from above. John 3 27. A man, there's nothing you can receive. So be low in your own eyes. Don't overrate yourself. Don't, I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that made this company very big. I'm the one that, no. Don't overrate yourself. Number two, how do you deal with pride? Always return the glory to God. You know, one thing we don't realize is that God is a jealous God. Exodus 20 verse 5. God is a very, very, very jealous God. He's a very jealous. He said, I am a jealous God. That's God speaking there. There was a man, I know you know the story in Acts chapter 12, verse 21 to 23, called Herod. He was doing braggadociousness. He said, people were hailing him. That's why people, all of you here, that people like hailing you, be careful. So that they don't hail you into your low heights. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. Yes, sir. And the Lord gave it, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of man. Verse 23. And immediately, this man that was on the throne, a very big, robust, rich man. Let us see what happened to him. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Any man or woman that wants grace must run away from pride. Any man, I've noticed in my little experience of our fathers in the faith, when you look at them from afar, you say, these people, they are very big. They must be very, very proud. To come near them will be a problem. But when you go near them, you will see some level of utmost humility. Looking at them from afar, you say, this one was very proud. Very, very proud. But you know, pride is not of the face. Pride is of the heart, just as humility is of the heart. Pride, that's why somebody might be walking like this, and somebody says, this is a very humble person. God will say, it's a lie, it's a proud person. Because God views the heart. If grace is what you need, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Always return the glory to God. Everything that happens to you, return the glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, return the glory to God. Return the glory to God. Everything that happens, the good, or whatever areas of life, return the glory to God. In John 15 verse 5, John 15 verse 5, I say, without me, you can do nothing. So anything you are, anything you have accomplished, to God be the glory. Number three, how to deal with pride. Know that pride is a destiny destroyer. 1 Peter 5 verse 5, pride is a destiny destroyer. Everywhere you see pride, you will see destruction. And it says, likewise, you younger ones, submit yourself unto the elder. The elder we are talking about here is not somebody who is with white hair and all that. People who are ahead of you in authority, submit to them. Say, yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. May you be clothed with humility today. Yeah. Say, clothe yourself. Let people see humility on you. If you want grace, if you want things to work for you, clothe yourself with humility. For God said the proud and give a grace unto the humble. Thank you, Jesus. Number four, how to deal with pride to assess the grace of God. Examine, keep your heart always. Proverbs 4 verse 23. Keep your heart. Ensure your thoughts are godly thoughts. Proverbs 4 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it that issue. Everything in life is a product of the heart. Monitor your heart. Be sure that your thought always is a good thought. If you notice that you are thinking in a way that doesn't glorify God, go for spiritual purging. Someone say spiritual purging. Go for spiritual purging so that you can retain the grace of God upon your life. Number five, I already said it also in number four, clothe yourself with humility. And number six, number five, number four is examine and keep your heart. Number five is clothe yourself with humility. And number six is know the benefits of humility. There are many benefits in humility, and when you know the benefit, it's easy for you to be able to assess it. In Proverbs 18 verse 12, explains to us that honor is one of the benefits of humility. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but before honor is humility. Also, Luke 14 verse 11 also explains to us. So when you know the benefit that comes from humility, there's a tendency for you to want to embrace it. There's somebody here today, you will be honored. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be. That's what they call higher heights. When you say higher height, grace for higher height, this is what we are talking about. And I think I better close here. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall move to higher height. I pray for you here today that grace from above will rest upon you afresh in Jesus' name. Grace is impossible until there is salvation. Salvation will only come. Grace will only come to those who are ready to be saved. What does it mean to be saved? You have given your total life as a donation to God. It's like you are not living for yourself anymore. You have given your total. You are not keeping back any part of your life from God.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.